Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Sunday, March the 26th. Sunday, March the 26th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon, Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, we want to break down the scripture in John chapter 8, verses through to about 10. We want to really get a clear understanding of this world and this word. There is a word that comes from John 8, verse 2. Down at the very bottom where it talks about this mindset that should be maintained that allows you to be sinless. Now, we have to read the parable or the story about the woman that was caught in adultery. Because like the woman that was caught in adultery, you may have been caught in something. And you walked away, or people made you feel, and you bring about what you feel about. Since people or someone can make you feel feeling real. So if I can make you feel bad, I can make being bad attainable. So in order for you to be bad, you must feel bad. In order to feel bad, you must have thoughts that you are bad. So if I can get you, based upon your behavior, to think that you are bad, then I will make you feel that you are bad. Then I will make you produce the evidence that verifies that you are bad. So you are caught in a mechanism or a paradigm. It is a negative, unconscious mechanism. This mechanism is the result of you feeling bad. But I got to make you feel bad in order for you to be bad. And the only way that I can make you feel bad is I, or you got to make, now most of this is internally. Because remember, your outside reality is a result of your inside mentality. Let me say that again. Your outside reality is the result of your inside mentality. One more time. Your outside reality thing is the result of your inside mentality thought. But I got to get you to, I got to plant these thoughts in your head. Or you're doing such a good job of beating your own self up, I ain't got to beat you up. I mean, hey, brother, sister, dude, do that. You're doing excellent. You feel bad every day because you got a belief in your brain that says, if I do blank, I'm a bad guy. Since you got that thought in your brain, you manifest that thing in your life. So how does it work? How can you destroy you? How in the world is all your problems self-generated? Now, I want you to think about that for a moment because this is some deep shizness right here. Because, see, one of the benefits of the Claironautics program is I help you to identify and to remove that thought. What thought, brother? You're a bad guy. See, somebody blew some smoke up your butt, and that smoke is germinating a thought. And see, we make decisions on how we feel, and that feeling produces what's real. Since you make decisions on how you feel instead of fact, you bring about that real that is the result of that feel. So instead of using reason and logic, you're using a negative feeling pattern. So you hesitate to be and to do anything authentic. So you don't do the work because you hesitate on the thought that produces the work. Because the thought will come into your head that says that, you know, hey, God has removed my sins from me as far as the east is from the west, and you'll say something to somebody or you'll say something to yourself or you'll look around and nobody's around, nobody can see you. So, yeah, you're going to put on that porn and you're going to watch that porn. You know, you maybe even masturbate or you do something. Then after you finish, well, how do you feel? Or you go and, you know, you borderline alcoholic, doctors, your family members, everybody tell you, hey, dog, don't drink alcohol. Oh, I'm not going to drink no more, you know. Or you smoke. You say, oh, I'm not going to smoke no more. Or you're a couple of pounds overweight. You say, hey, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. Going to the gym every day. Except Saturdays and Sundays. Wednesday rolls around, you're a little busy, and it's like you continue to do your work, or you stop working and you go without. You hesitate on what you should do. And since you hesitate, that thought falls upon stony ground. And the birds, they come away and they steal that thought. Feel afterwards. You know how you feel after you let yourself down? See, it doesn't really matter if you let other people down. But if I tell myself I make a goal to go work out, and then I come up with an excuse and I don't go work out, I feel like shizness after that. And since I feel bad, I produce bad. So that is a feeling we got to get rid of. This is your negative habit pattern. This is your core implant. This is the family spirit. This is a familiar spirit. This is a family liar. That thought in your brain is lying to you, and it's telling you that you ain't worth beep, when actually you're made in the image and likeness of God. You're his offspring. You're a joint. You're a royal priest. Those are facts, but you don't have facts and faith that produces fruit. You have fear that produces this unrealistic expectation that's not real. So if we look at John chapter 8, I'm reading from the New King James Version, John 8, verse 2. John chapter 8, verse 2 says, "Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them." Now this has exoteric meaning, outside, physical temple, physical people, physical sitting down, physical talk. It also has an eso, inside meaning. Inside meaning, early in the morning. That means the first thoughts. He came into the temple. That means your body. All the people came to him. That means all of your thoughts that represents people in your life. They came into the fornix, or they came up into the part of the brain that's the holies of holies, and they sat down and he taught them. That means thoughts come into your brain that says, you're not worthy. A thought comes in your brain that says, you don't deserve to be happy. A thought comes into your brain that says that if I try, I'm going to fail. A thought comes in your brain that says, nobody wants my products. Nobody wants my service. Nobody going to read my book. Nobody going to listen to my blog talk. Nobody's going to tune in. And then the smoking gun, the biggest thought that comes into your head that totally produces this feeling, I am not good. I am not smart. I'm not intelligent. Once you say these thoughts, it produces these feelings. These feelings then produce actions. And so it continues in John 8. It says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery.'" She's been caught in the very act. They didn't, you know, it wasn't like, hey, they were done. It wasn't, hey, we caught them, they was getting undressed. No, we caught them doing the nasty. Now, Moses, in the law, he commanded us that such should be stoned. What say ye? See, they were always trying to trap. Like, they're trying to trap you. They being your thoughts. They being other people's thoughts. Always trying to trap you. To put you in a predicament to choose between option A and option B. And you know my position, my take on the matter. I never choose between option A or option B. I always choose option C. I learned that from Yahushua. So Yahushua, you know, they came to him and say, what say ye? Should we stone her? This they said, testing him. So when somebody comes to you and say, hey, what you going to do now? You going to, you know, stay in the relationship or you going to leave the relationship? What say ye? So those thoughts are coming into your head, brother. Those thoughts are coming into your head, sister, to test you. So every time you come home, the wife or the husband does something and you get a little pissed off, you are being tested. Notice the reason why adversity comes into your life. This earth is a freaking university. You are in school, whether you want to be in school or not. And you got daily, in fact, I would say minute by minute instructions. And unfortunately, since your expectation is unrealistic, you think, has anybody ever failed a test? I failed a lot of tests in my day. So I had to go back home and study, and then I come back and take the test again. And guess what? Sometimes I failed it again. But eventually, as long as I kept studying, I passed the test. So you're going through life and you got a test in the area of wealth. You got a test in the area of health. You got a test in the area of wisdom. You got a test in the area of relationships. And so, again, they're testing you, brother. They're testing you. Who's they? Your own thoughts, your own head. You're testing yourself. Notice what it says, though, in John chapter 8. It says, this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. This is what's going on in your life, brother. See, you are your own worst enemy. You. It ain't no demons. It ain't no devils. It ain't the doctor, the bishop, the reverend. It's you, brother. It's you. So those thoughts come things, or dispositions, or ruling networks, or negative habit patterns, or core imprints, or energy blocks that is prohibiting you from oscillating and vibrating in your full potential. So you're not able to optimize your life because you are destroying your life. How am I destroying my life, Brother Will? Hey, glad you asked. See, everything that's happening to you thought-wise is testing you so that way when you fail, they can accuse you. So why are you not more wealthy? It's because you passed a test. And once you pass that test, you lost your testimony. And the only way to overcome him being you, the only way to overcome your lower vibrational self is for you to pass, to get above and operate in the higher vibrational self. Because if the lower vibrational self gets evidence to prove its existence, the lower vibrational self keeps you trapped in that low vibration. And so you pass or fail the test, and you become, again, empowered or disemboweled. So now remember, the reason that bad things happen is to test you, to prove you. Now, we're going to start at the 7 o'clock hour for everybody that's a part of the Clarinomics program, and we're going to finish up finally with, I think we're on part 5 of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is how you overcome your ego. This is how you overcome your low vibration. This is how you overcome the pattern of this world that's based upon materialism and individualism. This is how you overcome your unconscious brother, your unconscious family spirit that was passed down to your father, his father, his father, his father, to the third generation. 3 generations of ruling dispositions is inside of your DNA, and it's unconscious. You don't have a clue. You don't even know you got a predisposition for gluttony. You don't even know you got a predisposition for porn. You don't even know you got a predisposition for alcohol. You don't even know you got a predisposition for smoking the Mary J. You don't even know you got the predisposition for being arrogant and being cocky and being an egotistical maniac. You don't even know. But that predisposition is passed down. The sins of the father is passed down to the sons, to the third generation. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to that pattern. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm renewing your mind. Then, and only then, will you be able to test and pass what is God's will, which is, this is proof that you've passed the test. You're going to be good. You're going to be pleasing. And you're going to be perfect according to the Constitution. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, and only then, you will be able to pass or discern what is good, what is pleasing, and what is perfect. Right now, you don't know what's good. You're in a relationship, and you don't even know, man, should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go? You don't know. You can't tell. You ain't got no discernment. You're on a job, and you're like, man, should I quit my job and start my own business? Oh, man, I don't know, man. If I quit my job, I ain't got no guaranteed check coming in every 2 weeks. That means I got to live by faith. Even though the Bible says that the just live by faith. God provides us our bread daily. Now, I prefer to get my bread weekly or monthly, God. How about it? John, heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So why am I looking for my bread annually? I want to get my bread annually, God. Can I get my salary for the entire year up front? I want that program. God said, that's not my program. That's not walking by faith. It doesn't require no faith. If I give you your $100, I give you $100,000 for the year, I'm going to give it all. Give you $100,000 on January 1st. What you going to do on January the 2nd? Party like a rock star. By March, you'll be broke. So God gives you your bread daily. So that's a test to see if you're going to flip out, because you got a bill that's coming up. You got a weekly or daily salary. Let's say you divide your salary by day and you get paid $100 a day. And you got a bill that's going to require 10 days. You got a $1,000 bill coming up and you're getting, you know, $100. This thing called fear, doubt, and unbelief is going to be at your house doing this. Let me in, brother. Let me in, sister. Because you are being tested. But you think that some demons is at your house. The devil is trying to hold you down. Oh, hey, maybe you grew up like me. The white man. Yeah, the white man's fault. Hey, I blame the white man for everything when I was a kid. Everything. If I won the lottery, the white man's fault. He paid me $100 bills. I would be pissed off. Why? I want my money in $1,000 bills, brother. Everything was bad. Everything was negative. Even if you did something good, I put a bad spin on it. Why? I kept failing the test. Why? Because I felt bad. Why did I feel bad as a kid? My mama let some lady beat me. We didn't eat on the weekends, pretty much. My dad looked at me like I was the freaking neighbor's kid. I can go on if y'all got a couple of hours. So all of that shizness that happened to me, what did it do, brother? What did it do? It made me feel rejected. It made me feel alone. It made me feel unloved since I feel. That means I got a thought. But my thought has evidence. See, this is what they did to Jesus. They say, Jesus, we got a core negative habit pattern. And guess what? I got proof, Jesus. I called her on the downstroke. You don't understand. Now, Jesus, you coming along with this, you know, this higher level thought. But even Moses said, stone her. Now, we didn't catch her getting undressed. We didn't catch her putting her clothes on. We caught them fools buck naked in the act. What you going to do about that? So the devil is bringing thoughts to your head right now as I'm speaking to you. Those thoughts are telling you what evidence. Now, remember, you need faith plus facts to produce fruit. So you got faith, which is in the form of fear. Why? You watch porn, and everybody says it's bad, so guess what you got? Fear. So you got to do it on DL. You got to wait till everybody sleep in the house, and you get up at 2 or 3 o'clock, and you go to, you know, XXX, you know, Bump Egypt or whatever, and you click it on. Kids asleep. Make sure the wife is gone. Sleep. A woman, you make sure before you take out that little sex toy, you make sure that the husband is passed out. And then you go through your little act. And after you finish, you feel like shiznit. Why? Somebody told you that was wrong. Now they said, hey, Jesus, Moses said in his law, he commanded us to stone them. What say ye? So you know, hey, maybe you born a lot of alcoholic and, you know, the wife is working with you. You went to your, you know, the AAA meetings or whatever, the AA meetings, and they told you no alcohol. You're like, yes, no alcohol. And you solemnly swore that you ain't going to drink no alcohol. You came home and you popped the cap and you knocked out that six pack like it was no tomorrow. Back to back to back. Drunk all six beers. And now you sit in there a little tipsy, and guess what happens? A thought comes into your head. Bad. You a bad man. So you feel bad. And guess what happens after that? You be bad. So you drink another six pack. Because you know, I'm out here now. I'm here. I might as well go for the gusto. Now, when I was young, dumb, and stupid, that's what I used to say. If I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell with gasoline draws on. I'm not going to just barely get in. If I'm going to hell, I'm going to bust the door wide open. I ain't going to live on the fence, brother. And you're doing the same thing, but you don't know that you're doing it because you don't understand the system. So the system is here in Dawn 8. This is what keeps you in the box. This is what keeps you connected to the pattern of this world. This is what activates that family spirit. That means there's a demon that's been passed down in your family. Everybody got that same disposition. Everybody. Now, some people just hide it better than other people, but everybody got it. And the reason, though, that you got it is to keep you in that perpetual motion where you are always producing shiznit, that sin. But we're supposed to be sinless. But why are we sinful? Because we say, I want to be sinful. How do you say I want to be sinful? By having feelings. If God says, I have removed your sin from you as far as the east is from the west, why you still got sin in your life? Because you still got thoughts in your brain. And the thoughts in your brain goes opposite against the perfection that you're supposed to be living according. It goes against your diakonia. Now, your diakonia is one of wealth. It's one of health. It's one of wisdom. And it's one of a great positive toe-curling relationship. But you're not in that position because you have a thought. Now, you should be a thought inspector. Because he who is without sin, sinless among you, let him throw the first stone. So I'm going to ask the same question that Yahushua asked them, Nicholas, who caught the woman. I don't understand that. She wasn't getting undressed. She wasn't getting dressed. They didn't catch her before the act. They didn't catch her, caught her in the act. Same way the devil caught you. And so now we got evidence. Okay, this is what happened. I can't talk about you guys. Let me talk about my life. So I got caught in the act. Like the woman of adultery. And so these entities, which was in my own head, they say, that's a law that says if you're caught in adultery, divorce, exit stage left. Now, John 8 says, now Moses told us in the law, he commanded us. Notice they said he commanded us. They didn't say that he recommended. They said he commanded us that such should be stoned. Then the next question, what say ye? So they asking Jesus, okay, we got this woman, and the law says that if she gets caught in adultery, put a rock upside her head. Now, that's pretty harsh. Jesus said next. So the next verse says, they said this testing him. So the thoughts that are coming into your brain right now as I'm speaking that says that you are a bad guy or you are a bad girl, that thought is there to test you. What you going to do? Are you going to believe that thought or are you going to believe God's word? Which one you got? Then it says that they said that, tested him, that they might have something to which to accuse him. Notice it has nothing to do with the woman in adultery. They was trying to set up Yahushua. So your problem that you got in your life, it ain't got nothing to do with your bills. It has nothing to do with your husband. It has nothing to do with your wife. It has nothing to do with your job. It has nothing to do with your exercise routine. It has nothing to do with nothing except universal spiritual law. The enemy is here to destroy the 12 universal laws that you must abide by to be wealthy, to be healthy, to be wise, and to be a great relationship. It ain't about you, brother. I know you think it is. I know you think, oh, the devil's after me. The devil, like I saw the devil sipping pina coladas on the Bahamas. He's on the beach. He told me he was taking off this week. So it's not the devil. In fact, the devil's not after you. The devil is here to violate universal law, and he does it through you. So you think the devil is trying to bring you down and keep you in poverty? No, that in fact, the devil will give you boku bucks. He'll make you rich. All you got to do is his will, not God's. This is bigger than you, brother. This is bigger than you, sister. I know you think that the test you're going through, you know, your little alcohol problem, your porn addiction, you smoking marijuana, you lazy, or, you know, you got lustful thoughts, you know. You got one female and you want to have three more on the side. I know the rebelliousness in your heart. I know the fact that, oh, man, Brother Will says words piss me off. I ain't listening to this fool no more. I know you think that that I'm your problem. I know that you think it's your wife. I know that you think it's your man. It's the neighbor next door. It's the Reverend Dr. Bishop at church. It's the IRS. It's Donald Trump. I know you think that your problem is outside of you. I know that you think this is about you. But this is the cosmogrator trying to destroy a harmonious arrangement created by the Big D. This is a war that's above your pay grade. Now, I know you think it's your job to go up against the prince of the air. I don't recommend it because you're going to get mowed down, brother. The archangel Michael didn't even take him on. The archangel Michael says, oh, yeah, I'm not going to fight this dude. I'm going to put the word on him. I recommend you do the same thing. Because this dude is the word with the L in it. So Before the L was added into the word, the only thing that existed was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. So the cosmic watchers say, hey, we got W-O-R-D. Now, the cosmogator is the kyrios in the Greek. That means Lord. That's why you got the word Lord all through your Bible. Because the Lord of this world ain't stupid. He changed the word by adding the L. See, the L, my brother, the L, my sister, that was added, manipulates the word to produce the world. So if I can manipulate your word, I'm going to produce my world. What do you think the devil's done to you? Now, your world should be one of wealth, one of health, one of wisdom, and one of positive relationships. But you don't live in that world because you have fallen for the accuser of the brethren. Notice why they tested him. They tested him that they may have something by which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear them. Notice what he did to overcome the pattern. He did not respond. So I'm going to walk up to you, and I'm going to call you out your name, brother. I'm going to call you out your name, sister. If you're an African-American, I'm going to call you a spear chunker. I'm going to call you Black Sambo. I'm going to call you Oreo. I'm going to call you the N-word. And what are you going to do? Meet me outside, brother. We can settle it. You're going to respond to it. I guarantee you're going to respond. If I walk up to you and slap you upside the head, what are you going to do? You're going to respond. You're going to turn the other cheek. You're going to try to take my head off. Notice, however, what you should be doing. Somebody sees you doing something. Now, notice that somebody is always you. Now, ever notice that when you do bad stuff, you're always alone and on the DL? So you get up in the middle of the night and smoke that marijuana. You get up in the middle of the night or when everybody's gone and bust up in that six-pack or watch that porn. Or call, somebody you shouldn't be calling, or texting somebody you shouldn't be calling. Notice you always do your dirt by yourself. And then you feel something. What is putting that thought in your head? You. But why are you putting that thought in your own head? To keep you trapped in that negative habit pattern. Do you know that your brain will do anything, including almost causing physical death, to prevent you from being conscious? Now, this is all scientifically proven. If you try to get out of your box, and if you don't believe me, just try to get out of your box. If you say you never worked out in your life, you're overweight, and you keep telling yourself every new year you make a new year resolution, I'm going to start working out. The next thought that comes into your brain, write it down. Guaranteed. If you decide, Brother Will, I'm going to start doing blog talk shows tomorrow. I want to start on my journey to start becoming self-sufficient, express, expose, and expand my God-given diakonia. Just make that statement. Watch what happens next. Fear, doubt, and unbelief are going to show up. You will not do a blog talk show. Can't do a blog talk show. Because your fear, your subconscious, that ego that is based upon the false you is not going to die. Trust me, I've been trying to kill it for 50-plus years. So now I ignore it. That's what Jesus did. Notice what Jesus did in John 8, 5, 6. But Jesus stooped down, and he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. He heard them, but he did not react because he knows whatever you react to, you enact to. So in order for the system to work, I got to put a thought in your head. That ain't going to do nothing, though. That thought must produce a feeling. That still ain't going to do nothing. That feeling has to produce a reaction. Bam, I got you. If I can get you to react, then I get you to enact. Do you know that we, through our fear, empower the government? You think the government, how many government agents are there and how many people on earth? There's billions of people on earth, and the government is maybe 10% that size, and yet we are all afraid. What if everybody got together and said, we ain't paying the IRS jack? The IRS will close down tomorrow. But it is voluntary acceptance. So we voluntarily accept what the cosmogator is dishing out. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus says, I'm going to act like I don't hear him. I'm not going to respond. I would highly recommend you do the same thing. IRS sent me letters. I've been getting letters from the IRS for, 10 years. I get them and I tear them up. I don't respond. People send me threatening emails. I remember I had my coffee shop and I was really pushing Wake Up Black America in the black community, and I was getting death threats that night. I didn't respond. I've learned. Notice what it says. The verse continues, says, he acted like he did not hear him. So when they continued asking him, so a thought comes in your head, you're a loser. Now, let me tell you what thoughts is in your head right now. The thoughts that's in your head. You already know this. If I try, Brother Will, I'm going to fail. You know you got the thought. Because if you didn't have the thought, you would already be trying. In fact, I would like everybody to try this experiment at home. I want you to, as I said before, I want you to take out an ink pen. I want you to put it on a desk or on top of a flat surface. So I got an ink pen in my hand right now. I'm going to put it on top of my desk. That's my ink pen. Let me make sure you guys hear that. It's my ink pen hitting the desk. So I put the ink pen on the desk. Now I'm going to try to pick it up. I'm not going to pick it up. I'm going to try. I'm going to reach over there. I'm going to look at it. Okay. I'm touching it with my hand, but I'm going to try to pick it up. Newsflash. There is no trying. Either you pick the mother up or you put it down. One of the two. Now, I want you to try another experiment. I want you to go on the potty, store up some excrement. Then I want you to go sit on the potty, and then I want you to try to get rid of the excrement. Don't get rid of it. I want you to try. I want you to strain and push. Do whatever you do when you go to the potty. But don't let nothing slip out your cheeks. Try that and see how that works. Ain't no such animal. Trying is a Luciferian term. You either do it, as they say, you either squat or get off the pot. So either you're going to be wealthy or you're not. Don't play this mind game. Well, I'm going to try to, get my better education. I'm going to try to start a business, or, I'm going to try to tune into your show, brother. Or I'm going to try to buy that book. I'm going to try to make my payment this month. I'm going to try. No. That's not how the universe works. The universe only responds to a made-up mind. Period. Zip. Zada. The universe only responds to a made-up mind. You could pay me $5,000 for this program, you can pay me $10,000. You can pay me $20,000. All you got to do is make up in your mind. Once you make up in your mind to do, the universe, again, provides the way. Notice the universe does not respond unless you make a decision. Because you wishy-washy, the universe is wishy-washy. Now, I know this for a fact, because I've done it over and over and over again. I don't accept no for an answer. Now, you guys know the story. Me and my wife, I left my beautiful wife and moved in with some other chick. She moved some other dude in my house, sleeping in my bed, eating out of my plates, parked his car in my garage. Now, I left her. She didn't leave me. I came back. She said, the dude told me, bro, we don't need you. I got it from him. I'm paying all the bills, bro. I'm like, really? Yeah, this is my house. Okay. So I left. I went and got my own apartment. Decided I'm going to move on with my life. How relationships work. The Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So I had a stupid attack. But, I read this verse that says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So everybody that was in my head, nobody called me and told me, dude, you're a loser. I felt like a loser because I violated universal law. And then I condemned myself. So this is how smooth the enemy works. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. Notice why Jesus was tested. Let me go back. But they said unto him, what say ye? Moses commanded us to stone her. What say you? They said, testing him, that they might have something by which to accuse him. So everything that goes on in your life is a test. So that way you can find evidence for you to stay poor. You can find evidence so you can stay unhealthy. You can find evidence so you can stay ignorant. You can find evidence so you can put up with some dude talking to you like you're trash. So everything is in your head, brother. Everything is in your head. Now, you ain't got to live like that, but you do. So what do we do? So when they continued to ask him, he raised himself up and he said unto them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Now, he's writing on the ground the thoughts that he's thinking in his head. Are you doing that? And why did he write? Those who read it can run with it. You can't run if it's not written. She said, well, Brother Will, I'm going to be wealthy, dog. You don't understand, man. I'm going to blow up this year. Really? Let me see your blueprint. Well, you got it written down. It. Well, Lord, this is my head, brother. Yeah, good luck with that. There's a lot of other shit in your head, too. But you got it written down. Notice Yahushua wrote it down. He wrote, so he stooped down, and he wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone. Let me tell you, I'm not going to suggest this, I'm going to tell you how universal law. 5 years before I met my current wife, I wrote down the height, I wrote down the weight, I wrote down the body, I wrote down the thought, I wrote down the pastor's daughter, everything that my wife is, I wrote down. And as I've said on 1,000 shows, I did not write down 2 things because I forgot. The thought didn't come to my brain. I didn't write nothing down about age, and I wrote nothing down about children. I did not write everything else from education to money to body structure to shape, measurements. I wrote down everything on a piece of paper. And I don't know why I didn't think about it. I never thought about her age, nor whether or not that, because I was good at those things. So that wasn't an issue, I guess. That's why I didn't write it down. So there are only 2 things, and as you guys know, my wife is a lot younger than me, and all my kids are grown and gone, except for one. And my wife's kids are just getting started. They're in elementary school, 5th and 6th grade. Now, am I saying if I wrote it down, I would write it differently? No. Because why? I raised 13 kids already. What the hell is 2 more? But in the beginning, that was an issue. My wife was a lot younger than me. So I had a thought in my head. And you know, your wife, like younger than you, bro. What's going to happen when your dark behind gets to be about 70? She's going to drop you like a hot potato if you're a younger dude. Now, everybody who meets us, they think I'm her age or younger. Because in my brain and in my body, I don't act my age. So since I don't think that thought, I don't feel that feeling, and I don't manifest that thing. I think thoughts that says I am healthy. Every organ in my body functions according to its purpose. And so God sent me everything that I needed for life and godliness because I have the thoughts that produce the feeling that draws into my life the plan. Now, this is the secret to life. Commit to a goal. God will send you the role. Bump the role. Everybody sitting around is thinking about how am I going to do it? Bump that. What are you going to do? What's your gear, Kinnear, brother? See, while you're sitting down thinking about your plan, you have never, ever, 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 ever committed 100% and burned every freaking bridge and have one way, win or go home. Death or destiny, do that. I triple dare anybody listen to the sound of my voice to commit to the goal. Watch how fast God sends you the how-to or the road. Then detach from the goal and attached to the role. See, the problem is that when you are trying to find the role comes after, only after you are committed to the goal. So what's my goal? My goal is I'm going to be wealthy. My goal is, in fact, I am wealthy. I am healthy. I am wise. And I am in a toe-curling relationship. So God sent me, okay, Brother Will, you want to be wealthy? Yes, sir. This is how you do it. And he sent me the role. And I started implementing the role. I totally detached from the goal. What does that mean, though? The word detached from the goal means I don't give a beep whether the goal is reached or not. this is what I did. And I guarantee you, based upon the universal law, not based upon no biblical law, not based upon no verse or no freaking, you know, T.D. Jakes or Creflo Dollar or somebody else. I'm talking about universal law, brother, that rises above, like Yahushua. They brought to Yahushua, they told him, hey, Moses said in the law that if you find a woman caught in adultery, stone her. That's what Moses said. Moses is the law. Notice how they said it? Notice they brought evidence to justify their accusation. That's what the devil's doing to you. So you say, you're like, I ain't no loser. The devil's like, really? Let me remind you about how many times you've lost. And you say to yourself, well, you know what? Sure. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose this way. The devil's like, really? How many New Year's resolutions that you made that you said you're going to? Do you know that every time you make a promise to yourself and don't fulfill it, you are destroying yourself? Now, you can make a promise to me, Brother Will, I'm going to be on your show, dog. And if you don't show up, yeah. But if you promise yourself, because God is within inside of you, so you're promising God. The Bible says it's better not to make a vow and don't fulfill it. So every time you say to yourself, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m., and that means you don't love yourself. So because you don't love yourself, you're verifying that unconscious belief that says, I don't deserve to be wealthy. I don't deserve to be healthy. In fact, I'm not good enough to be wealthy. I'm not good enough to be healthy. I'm not good enough to be wise. That's what you're saying to yourself every time you make a decision and fail to keep it. So I highly recommend, brother, I highly recommend, sister, don't make promises that you can't keep to yourself. And you can talk to some other knucklehead anytime you want. You can promise your husband, you know, your mother, your father, you know, the blind man down the street. You can promise them suckers anything. But when you look yourself in the mirror and you tell yourself, this is what I'm going to be. This is who I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to have. Don't do that, because if you do, the accuser is going to show up. And the first thought that's going to come into your head is, really? Didn't you try that last week? And you crashed and burned? That's what they told Jesus. Notice that they told Jesus that Moses, I'm sure Jesus was like, who the hell is Moses? Moses ain't God. Moses is not God incarnate. They said that, testing him and accusing him of that. That's why Jesus didn't respond. He stooped down. He wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. So when somebody tells you that, oh, you're going to make $100,000 this year online, I'm going to stoop down. I'm going to write down my goal. And God's going to send me my role. I'm going to detach from the goal, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to say to myself, what would I be doing every day, whether I get paid or not, because I love it? Who would I be with, whether they love me or not, because I love them? What exercise routine would I do, whether I lose a pound or put on any mask, because I love it? What religious book, what wisdom would I do, whether I get paid or not, because I love it? My life changed. See, I don't know, brothers and sisters, I don't really understand, like, where some people at, because some people, I can't grasp. And it's not because I can't grasp it, it's because I'm giving them universal law, and they refuse to apply it. Now, I went to the Big G on January the 1st of 2009, and I told the Big G, I didn't ask, I told the Big G, either you are real or you're a freaking fraud, and you're fake and you're phony, just like everybody else. And I told the Big G, either the enemy, just like with the children of Egypt, and he told them, look, hit your enemies. Enemies that you see today, you will see them more. So I told the Big G that I'm attached to that. And I'm going to achieve that, or I'm going to sign up with Loose and Far. And the Big G gave me a plan. He gave me a system that says, well, limiting beliefs, where do they come from? How do you identify and eliminate them? So I wrote a book called Cladonomics. That word doesn't exist. The word was, I just made it up. Go to Google and type in Cladonomics and see what comes up. So I asked the Big G, why ain't I already wealthy? Why am I not already healthy? Why am I not already wise? Why am I not already in a good relationship? And the Big G says, he took me to the scriptures. Now, I didn't hear no audible voice. There was no burning bush. No little green men came to me. I didn't, nothing. Something inside my spirit gave me a scripture that said, God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Then I looked at a scripture in Kings that said when Solomon asked for wisdom to rule his people, he got a problem. He didn't get no solution. So God told me, you got to be the solution, bump the problem. Notice Jesus did not respond to the problem. See, your problem is you responding to the problem. See, self-limiting beliefs are beliefs that you hold dear about certain topics in your life, which lead you to an incorrect conclusion on that topic. Let me make sure you understand. So you believe that, I can consume more calories than I burn, and I'm going to lose weight. Because you read an article somewhere, or you talk to some, fitness guru, and they say, yeah, man, you can eat anything, do anything you want, go home and sleep. Watch cartoons, eat Krispy Kreme donuts, Captain Crunch cereal, and you're going to lose weight. Since you believe that, that is an incorrect belief. See, there are false beliefs that limit you to take action, or they empower you to take the wrong action. So if you're not self-aware, if you believe that what you are doing is correct, now there's a religion where guys strap bombs on their chest and they run into a crowd of people, they blow themselves up and other people. Why? Because beliefs are very powerful, and they influence the way that you speak and the way that you think and the way that you feel and the way that you behave or the way that you act, whether those beliefs are real or not. So let me make sure you understand, see, because self-limiting beliefs are a roadblock that takes you down the wrong path, and you become unsuccessful, unwealthy, unhealthy, unwise. See, if you don't realize that the limiting beliefs is the only way that you're not already successful, because God has already given you everything that you need for life and godliness, where is that, God? You can't see it. Why can't I see it, God? Because your limiting beliefs limit your vision. They limit your awareness. They restrict. They allow you to overgeneralize the failure. You downplay it, brother. You say, it's not that bad. It's okay. You make excuses. See, your inability to be conscious and aware allows limiting beliefs to hide in your unconscious brain. All I did is I pulled out all of my dirty laundry and I aired it out. Nobody would know I cheated on my wife unless I told them. Nobody would know that I'm a functional illiterate unless I freaking told them. And you should be asking yourself, Brother Will, why are you throwing yourself under the bus? Because the self I'm throwing under the bus is the freaking false self. I'm trying to kill that fool. My false ego, the ego that tells me, hey, Brother Will, what I'm saying, man, I feel sorry for you, brother. You had a bad childhood. You're a victim, brother. You're a victim. It's the white man's fault. It's your grandmother's fault. Your mama, man, it's her fault. What about your 80-year-old daddy? It's his fault. You should go in and slap him upside the head. He's 80. What are you going to do? Payback time, brother. That's the thoughts that come into my brain, but I don't respond to them. Because, see, I've learned the hard way. I recommend that you don't learn the way I learned. I recommend that you can learn, again, by other people's experiences instead of you have to learn by your own. Because the life I've been through, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Now, let me make sure you understand, because this is some deep shizness right here, because my brothers and my sisters, there are universal laws that you are violating, and you are violating these universal laws unknowingly. And because you are unknowingly violating these universal laws, you're not going to knowingly receive wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. Now, you may accidentally stumble upon something, but let me tell you what you have to do if you want to be healthy, wealthy, wise, and maintain a great relationship. There's certain things you got to stop doing. This is going to allow you to start doing. Now, you can ignore these things and these thoughts every time they come into your brain. Just simply ignore them. That's what Yahushua did, because these are limiting beliefs which will hold you back from living a life of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. These limiting beliefs. So this is what we do in the Clarinomics Temple Building program every night at 7. If you're not a member already, a part of this Clarinomics, which is the household management of the soul, right now, who's managing your soul? Yeah. Think about it. Who's managing your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect? I know you think it's you. Let me tell you who's managing your soul. When you fail to learn, you fail to earn. When you fail to learn, you fail to earn. See, you have to stop believing that failure is a bad thing. Somebody told you that failure is a bad thing. Failure is just a thing that you ascribe a particular belief that limits your ability to learn from it. See, when you are succeeding, when you're wealthy, healthy, and wise, you ain't learning nothing. Beep, you ain't learning nothing. You only learn through adversity. Nobody learns nothing when they're on the. That's why very, very rich kids' life sucks. Remember the Melendez brothers, the two dudes that killed their mother and father because they didn't give them no money? Because the mother and father always gave them money. They had Maserati, they had, you know, freaking Rolls Royce. You know, they didn't put them suckers in prison right now. Why? Very wealthy. Never experienced no adversity. Always had somebody giving them stuff. When a child grows up like that, when you grow up without adversity, because pain precedes pleasure, when you go through something, you learn from it, and you don't repeat it. So number one, stop believing that failure is a bad thing. It's not. I failed my way to success. Number two, stop believing that having more is being more. That's a big one. So you are driven. You're driven. You've been pushed. You've not been led. You've not been guided. See, the devil, he drives you. He pushes you. You're on a freaking treadmill of life. You're running like a rat in a cage. Where are you going, brother? Oh, I got to get more stuff so that I can be more stuff. So you believe that a bigger house, a better car, belief that having more is being more. That's I got a lot of stuff. The more stuff you get, the more crap you got to take care of. See, the more things that you acquire, then the more things you have to maintain. The more things you got to put energy into. The more things you got to, the more obligations you have. So we think buying more is being more. That's a worldly, Luciferian construct. Get rid of it. Number three, stop believing that everyone cares about everything you say and do. Do you really think that, okay, who's watching you? Why are you so driven? Why are you being pushed to be something that you're not? Because the demons and the devils in your head is pushing. See, the big G leads and guides. He never manipulates or controls. Never. So stop believing that there's people out there that care about everything that you say and do. Everybody living their own life, bro. Everybody living their own life. Anybody sitting around worrying about you and what you're doing? Those are all imaginary demons that you're fighting. Stop believing that everybody cares. Stop believing that you got to do something to impress somebody. Impress yourself. Next thing, stop believing that speaking up for yourself, man, I am one of the most laid-back, unaggressive people on the planet. I have learned to be aggressive. I thought it was wrong for me to say, if somebody asked me to go out to eat, I wouldn't say, well, I want to go out to eat. I didn't believe I had the right. Goes back to that old other line of belief. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Because nobody listened to me when I was a kid. So nobody's going to listen to me after that. So stop believing that speaking up for yourself, if you don't want to go out to eat, say, I don't want to go out to eat. if your husband, mate, or whoever's inviting you, I'm not going. If you don't want to go to church, don't go. If you don't want to listen to this program, don't listen. Stop believing that speaking up for yourself is wrong. There is nothing wrong with being authentic, brother. There is nothing wrong with being authentic. Give yourself permission to be yourself. Stop believing that there will be, this is number five. Stop believing that you got plenty of time later to follow your dreams. You're not going to live forever, brother. That's what lit a fire under me this year. A thought came into my head that says, why the hell are you living your life like you're going to be here forever? That's how I've been living my life. I don't know why I never thought about it. I thank God for giving me that ideal. But if I'm walking through life, like I'm taking my time. Like I'm knocking on 60 and I'm living my life like I'm freaking 19. What you waiting on? Do you know that your life could be required of you tonight? What have you done? Stop taking your time, brother. Stop taking your time, sister, like you're going to be on earth forever. You got a time limit and a time schedule. Now, you don't know what it is. So I would live my life as if tomorrow is my last day. That's how I live my life now. Stop believing that there will be time later and do it now. Brother, sister, you only got one shot at living. This is it. Don't ask permission. Don't wait for your mate. Don't wait now. If it can be done, do it today. Number six, stop believing that, you know, that you must live up to somebody else's expectation. Set your own. I don't care what the expectation is. Maybe your mother and your father told you, you know, they got these unrealistic expectations, and you're trying to live up to them so that way you can impress them. Stop that, brother. You're wasting your time. Stop believing and stop living your life according to somebody else's expectations and somebody else's. Develop your own system. Find and develop. That's what I told my daughters. That's what I told my son. Guess what? They are all successful business owners. All my kids work for themselves. That's what I told them. Find a system or freaking create your own. My daughter could not find a system that where they did a traveling dance studio. They told her that she was too thick to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. So, you know what I told my daughter? Start your own freaking cheer. Start your own dance company. That's what she did. Mother daughter wanted, she likes baking and she likes boutique. So she put together, they said, well, you can't be a baker and you can't do fashion. So she started her own LBD company. And guess what she does? She combined baking and boutique. She got her own bakery and her own boutique. She got her own clothing line. She got her own food line. Why? She would look for a system. They didn't have one. I look for a system that combined spirit and science. They told me, brother, you can't combine those two. So I created my own system called the Eagles Club, called Claronomics. Stop believing that you got to live up and you got to do something according to somebody else's expectation and somebody else's system. Create your own. Number six, I think. Stop believing that you don't have time to reward yourself. So you make $5 an hour, or you make $5, take $4, take $1, save it, take the other $3, pay your bills, take $1, reward yourself. Do you know you have to pay yourself first, not your bills? Let me say that again. Are you paying your bills first? Big mistake. Big mistake. Whoever you pay first, that's the thing that grows first. Let me say that again. Whoever you pay first is the thing that grows first. Because that's where your attention. Attention, energy goes where attention goes. So you putting all your attention on your bills, you get more bills. If you put all your attention on yourself, you get more self. True, authentic self. So I'm putting all of my energy, all of my time, all my money on being authentic. Guess what I'm getting? I'm getting more authenticity. Who you paying? So you pay the Reverend Dr. Bishop first? Guess what you get? More religion. Why do you think they tell you to tithe and do your offering first? Oh, your first fruits with the first money, as soon as it hits your pocket, give your money to the Reverend Dr. Bishop. Why? The Reverend Dr. Bishop ain't stupid. How do you think he got to be the Reverend Dr. Bishop? He knows biblical law, but does he know universal spiritual law? Provide energy. So stop believing that you're not worthy and you're not valuable. Pay yourself first. That means you are recognizing your own worth and your own value. So who you paying first? You pay your house note first? That means your house is more important to you. That means that your house is going to precede you into the kingdom. That's what it says in the Gospel of Thomas. I don't know if y'all understand how deep that is. See, you can tell somebody about it. If I want to know what you believe, give me your checking account. So if you need to tell me you go to the strip club and make it rain, so you get paid. Every Friday, you're at the strip club and you're making it rain. Guess who your God is? The strip club. I recommend you pay yourself first. Soon as you get paid, invest in yourself. Now, I'm telling you to invest in yourself through investing in me. By joining this program, you're invested in yourself. When you purchase a book, now you're not investing in yourself through me, but invest in yourself through somebody that's in a place where you want to be. If you want to be in wealth, if you want to be wealthy, invest through somebody into somebody else's program because they're wealthy and they are going to give you the secret code. It's called a hidden code and a social norm. What I'm giving you right now is hidden codes and social norms. Because I've been through at least the online aspects. Because I want time and money. I already made a lot of money. I didn't have no time. I had my own business, and I was doing photography. This is Impact Photography. I had a full-time job as a police officer. Then I had another full-time job as a supervisor. I had more money, but I didn't have no time. Then I quit all my jobs and said I was going to start my own business. I had a bunch of time, and I didn't have no money. 2 months ago, I said, I'm not doing that program no more. I'm going to have time and money. And I started the Clarimonic Temple Building Program. Guess what I got now? I got time and money. Why? I made a freaking decision. You mean to tell that's it? Absolutely. I guarantee you, if you do this, if you make a concrete decision and burn your bridges, that means you have no safety net. Nobody does that. And that means you have no area of retreat. Nobody does that. But let me make sure you understand how it works. If I take you to an island, one way to that island, a boat. We all on this boat together. We all go to the boat. And then everybody gets off the boat. Before you can unload all of your luggage, I say, hey, let's get off the boat. Let's go check out this new island. And while you're walking, swimming, get to the island, I stay behind and I burn the boat. And I tell you, everybody is going to die here on this island unless we build another boat. Or, as the real story goes, and I forgot what book it was, I think it was in Think and Grow Rich. The guy, and this is a true story, this captain takes his crew. They're going to fight a war. They get to the island where the war is going to take place. They see the enemy that they get ready to fight. The captain burns the boat. And the captain, and they go off, obviously, because they say, oh, Cap, how the hell are we going to get off this island, man? We ain't got no boat. You know what the captain says? We're going to take theirs. We either take their boat or we die on this island. What do you think they did? I mean, they walked through them dudes like they was butter. This is a true story. I think it's in the book, Think and Grow Rich, if I'm not mistaken. It was one of the wars, I think it was Napoleon or somebody. He guaranteed their success. Does anybody want to guarantee your success? Now, what would happen if they would have fear? See, what the captain did, it ignited their faith. But what if I do that to you? Or what if you do that to yourself, and what you do is you worry about, oh, man, how are we going to get off this island? How are we going to get off this island? Instead of worrying about, let's go kick some butt. Let's go kick some butt. And we're going to take their stuff. So if you have that ability, you will be wealthy, healthy, wise, and you will have a great relationship. That's what I did. My relationship turned around in one day. What did I do? I disconnected from all avenues of retreat. I disconnected from all options. Do you know that options is your worst enemy? We live in a country and we live in a world where we've got options. Everybody do. I can go to a restaurant and I look at a menu. And there's a freaking restaurant on every corner, so I can go to any restaurant I want. What if there's only one restaurant? Brothers, what if your girl was the only girl on earth? How would you treat her? Man, you'd be wiping her butt. What if every dude on earth was after your woman because she's the only one? Women, what if every What if every woman was after your man? Would you talk to him the way that you talk to him? Yeah, I don't think so. The fact that you got options is a curse. Options to purpose destroys effectiveness. So if I'm a didactic teacher, but I'm also good at, which I am, frequent intense training. But if I'm good at frequent intense training, but I'm also good at preaching, which I'm licensed all day and preach. I can preach. I can preach really good. And as you guys see, sometimes I get into the preaching mode, and I talk like a preacher. I start like loud, I start talking fast, and I sound like a preacher. So I'm good of a lot of things. That is why it took me 20 years to become successful, because I kept trying all those other things. What if I was a one-trick pony? What if the only thing I could do was one thing, and I had no other option? That is the mindset I have now. I only do one thing now. I inspire, inform, and influence people through the vehicle of didactic teaching and building temples so that you can contain the teaching. That's the only thing I do. That's the only thing I'm going to do. I'm going to master that and become successful at it, or you can put a bullet in my head. I'm ready to exit stage left. That's what I told God on January 1st, 2009. If you tell me the truth, I'm going to tell everybody. If you don't tell me the truth, I'm going to go hang out with the people who don't got the truth. Guess what happened? God gave me the truth. And if he can do it for me, he'll do it for you. Brothers and sisters, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. That simply means, brothers and sisters, stop throwing stones because you got sin. Judging yourself. Stop beating yourself up. Stop saying these crazy limiting beliefs. Get rid of them. You are worthy, brother. You are worthy, so because God says you are. I don't give a damn what your head says. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be, women, you deserve to be treated like a freaking queen. Men, you deserve to be treated like a king, because women, you are queens. Men, you are kings. You need to get rid of all these limiting beliefs and stop trying to start being. Forget about trying. Forget about doing. Be something. Then you'll be able to do something. But just don't be something. Be who God designed you to be. The moment I started to be myself, then God started to evaluate and elevate myself. You are good enough, brother. You are good enough, sister. Everybody wants to hear what you, I want to hear what you got to say, but you're not saying it. So I need you to be authentic. I need you to produce a product. I need you to produce a service. I need you to produce some information. Because why? The world needs to hear what you have to say. God put you on this universe at this time is because you got something that the world needs, and you're sitting on your hands. You're sitting on it because you're scarred. Stop being afraid, brothers. Stop operating and vibrating in fear, doubt, and unbelief, and start getting you some faith. And with your faith, get you some facts so that way you can produce some fruit. Stop believing that you can't change yourself. You can. You can't change your habits. I'm living, walking, breathing proof. You can't change your inner man. You can't change your outside reality by changing your inside mentality. So stop believing that you can't, because you can. I don't care. Nobody says, oh, well, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Bullshit. I'm an old dog. I've learned a lot of new tricks. And I highly recommend that you join me at masterteacher33.com at gmail.com and become a part of the Clarinomics program so we can identify and remove whatever unlimiting belief that you have, limiting your success. My brothers and my sisters, I want to thank everybody for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. And may his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you. He ain't going to never push, manipulate, or control you. If you've been pushed, manipulated, controlled, that's the wrong God. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.